Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
How good to have your company. Day three of Magic Round, all coming out of Suncorp Stadium in beautiful Brisbane. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you this afternoon for 3 hours of absolute magic before some rugby league breaks out. Bulldogs taking on the Knights. You'll hear that here. Adele, you're obviously a Brisbane man.
Yes.
The launch was good. You did the whole thing, didn't you?
Yeah, the Magic Round. Well, I was there as an ambassador for the Dragons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Big turnout.
Yeah.
Katie Brown was the MC and I was co-host, so it went off without a hitch. And there was $1 million up for grabs.
Did anyone get that? I saw some of the kicks. Beaver was close.
Yeah,
so just describe where
Beaver's always close.
So, yeah, so, exactly. So King George Square?
Yes, no, but kicking from into what? What was the competition?
So it was like 40 metres up on a scaffolding sort of ledge. It was a big space, but 5 of the members could go through out of 16. Oh, sorry, out of 15. Oh, no, out of 16 because the Broncos didn't have an ambassador there. But it was a really good vibe there. Yeah. And Pat Richards was the one who nailed it the most. So Mick Crocker kicked it. I had a kick. I got it. I did a toe poke and got there. 40
you
meters
did a toe
in
poke?
Yeah, old school. But Pat Richards hit it and it climbed because you had to go through the post and then you had to get it through a basketball hoop. So for $1 million, there was a bit of wind.
I was thinking $1 million just to get that over.
Yeah.
There's rubbish. A chance you could, all of you could get $1 million.
But it was a really good vibe, and you could just tell something special was happening in and around Brisbane. So Brisbane's been pumping for the last couple of days, so how good?
Yeah, it sure has.
And the Penrith fans, Tony, they're going to turn this into Magic Mushroom Round and just ingest anything that can allow them to forget about last night's performance.
Absolutely. Well,
what were they doing at the Star Goods? We'll talk about that later.
That's the thing about the Star. Yeah, no, we do have to. Mm. We'll go into some detail, I think, Ryan.
Yeah,
I know we have been doing it over the past few weeks, but if Panthers season was hanging by a very, very thin gossamer-like thread before last night, then in the early, 20 minutes in, it had been hacked away completely by the Tigers.
Fair to say, Tony. Absolutely.
Phenomenal burst.
Take nothing away from the Tigers' performance.
Well, they were good.
Well, Moses Embiid, come on and he'll be, he can actually, we'll gloat with him.
We will.
But we'll commiserate with Panthers fans and we'll get your take on as well. 133.53, we'll get your take on that and yours as well. Well, while I'm there, why don't I just go run through some of the scores as I look at the Tyre Power scoreboard. As we mentioned, the Tigers, they went on with it, 30-4 over the Panthers, who do need a massive rethink. Even Coach Ivan Cleary admitted that in the press conference. We'll hear about that and hear from him in just a little while. The Broncos, they needed a win, didn't they, in front of the home crowd. They got the job done over the Sea Eagles, who were gutsy and just broke. They were broken all over the field.
They were. They just keep turning up at the Seagulls. Good on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two centres gone in about 10 minutes. One comes back on,
I love Desi in the press conference when the first question was, gee, Des, you didn't get the 2 points, but you must have been happy with the performance of the boys. And Desi went, well, no, because we didn't get the 2 points.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, he's doing a great job.
26 points to 10. And Darius Boyd deserves a mention in terms of he's copped a lot of flack, not just about, form, but kind of a little bit about ticker almost.
Yeah.
And, an aging body and putting it on the line. Well, he did it all last night.
I think as you get older as a player, your game does change. And it's not as physical, especially when you're playing in different positions as it was. And then you need to make up for it in different areas. And I just saw some of those areas last night, whether it was his kick chase and his ability. Even I saw him off some restarts he was charging in and trying to lead his guys, which... Yeah. I thought last night he did a fantastic job.
And I think when he scored the try, all the boys to get around him, there's a bit of respect there, because they'd said that too.
The other thing that Darius hasn't been able to sort of do this year, and I think it's based on the fact that the side hasn't been going that well and they haven't been creating a lot of opportunities, was that ball that he threw
at the back,
for Corey Oates.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his bread and butter, and that was great to see him execute one of those.
He was under pressure, not just because of his form, but even the way then... He reacted to that in the media. Everyone said, he doesn't care. He's too relaxed. He's saying he's happy with his form. So everyone was judging not only his on-field performance, but to judging his performance in the media as well.
As captain,
The Sharkies over the Titans, 26 points to 18. In terms of coaches, Garth Brown, he was desperately unhappy with what the Titans dished up. For the Sharkies, Paul Gallen managed to kick a goal at the end there. Quite brilliant.
Score a try, man of the match. He did it all, Gal.
He good. Did.
We're gonna have, don't tell him that.
But what joy. We've got Aaron Woods, actually, for the entire hour from 1 Beautiful. O'clock. He will join us, so he'll certainly have an insider's view of what went on with the Sharks win and Gal and what is going on there. So we'll chat with him. The weird thing is, we're going to speak with Moses Mbai. They're already at the airport ready to go home, I understand, the Tigers. Why are they going home? It's the magic round. All the teams are in Brisbane. There should be an athlete's village.
Well, they want to keep
an
the
NRL
magic.
Village so that once you finish, because in the Olympics, once you're finished, then you just go out and raging.
Could you imagine?
That's what should be happening. It should be an NRL village set up somewhere. I don't know, maybe at Brecky Creek. I don't know.
Yeah,
where.
You probably don't need to.
Encouraging them to behave go well, out and
have
party?
Like
and
yes, yeah. responsibly. Yeah, no, I'm encouraging.
What a great idea in the wake of the off-season we've had.
Yeah,
let's
understand.
Encourage you guys to get on it. And
NRL village, once your team's finished, you can just let the steam
maybe
off.
Invite Israel in, see what don't he's up to think? Over the weekend. Maybe he can pay a visit.
He might be coming back
I
to
do
the NRL.
I think who the players aren't doing that. I think some of the journalists are doing that. We'll speak to Brett Reed a bit later.
Oh,
but I've
really?
Just got to say, I think he had a great time last night.
So
there's an athlete's village for the journalists.
Yes.
He has a real reputation amongst the journalists, doesn't he, Reedy?
I've got to say, I'm gonna throw him under the bus. Yeah. When we go away for Origin and the NRL takes out all the journos, we have a nice dinner and go out afterwards. Uh-huh. Reedy's always pretty close to best on ground.
Really?
See, he's like Clark Kent and Superman. He's got those glasses on. People think he's, mild-mannered reporter.
Just quickly, on Thursday, I could tell Reedy's getting a bit of an ego because I was supposed to come on at the end of rush hour and he said, what are you getting rid of me for, Dell? Reedy, Wendell Saylor, Brett Reed, No comparison, son.
Okay, well, Reedy's got about a couple of hours to wake up and we'll put all that to him. The King. We're going to speak with the King, Wally Lewis. Yeah. If you've got Magic Round and you're in Brisbane, who else would you go to but King Wally Lewis? Mm-hmm. Gee, it's a huge dance card for us this afternoon. Get involved, 133353 is our number. You listen to Saturday Triple M NRL. Triple M just rocking the footy on this Magic Round. Okay, here we are, the Panthers. What a shocking performance, 30-4. The performances all year have been questionable, but certainly last night's loss and the manner in which they started is something that all Panthers fans will be just waking up this morning going, what the hell happened there? And maybe the same question that Coach Ivan Cleary is asking. He was put, there were plenty of tough questions put to him by the media post-game. I just want to play a couple to you first. First up, I guess one of the big figures in Penrith over the past few years has been Gus Gould, and the question was put to him, well, is it time to make the call back for the big fella?
I would not reach out to anyone, so
You're happy to handle it yourself?
No, I'm happy to. I'm collaborative by nature, so I wouldn't rule out talking to anyone if I think it was going to help me.
Do you think Gus would be worth a call to get his opinion?
Possibly. Honestly, though, I think, I got a fair idea what we can do, so.
Well, he's got a fair idea. It'll be interesting to see what happens. He said there was kind of in the first 24 hours, it's going to be very important for Panthers. He talked about having a review, really, of the entire football department. I don't know if that's going to be done internally. I guess it will be by him. Okay, where does the blame lie, Ryan Girdler? Are we blaming this playing group for just not performing?
I think that's a little unfair to blame the entire mess on the playing group. When I think it takes, a certain contribution from every different department in the organisation to find themselves in the mess in which they're in at the moment. I think it's unfair just to blame they need to be accountable, obviously, for their performance and the way that they started the game last night. But the blame fully shouldn't sit on their shoulders.
All right, well, let's start walking up the ladder. The coach?
Yeah, well, I mean, the coach at the moment, I just don't feel like there's any confidence within the group. And the main job for the coach is obviously to come in there, create a game plan and put systems in place where the players feel comfortable and confident and have trust and faith within. And there's absolutely none of that at the moment. And it's also, it doesn't fall solely on the coach, but the coach has got to motivate the guys. I mean, it's a long season and players need to take their preparation and their performances, they're accountable for those as well. But I think the coach also plays a part in the way that, they prepare and obviously how they feel about the game and all their off-field stuff. So I think he plays a part in that. But the biggest thing also is, and I said it about 6 weeks out, I haven't seen Penrith create an identity for themselves under Ivan. And I'd like to see, especially when they've got the football, I'd like to see a blueprint for their attack. I don't think they have an attacking plan. They have nothing in place to fall back on when the shit hits the fan, to be honest. And that's and that's what you need it for. You need some sort of game plan there,
too, hasn't it?
It's been, well, they haven't. Yeah. So I just think that, yeah, especially with their attack, I mean, defence is a bit of an attitude, and they certainly haven't had their attitude right. But with the football, last night they got the, they got themselves in a position where they had a little bit of momentum after that start. And three times, I think, on the second tackle, 10 metres out from the opposition line, they kicked the football. And it wasn't to get a repeat set because they just started the set. It was actually to try and come up with points. And that, for me, screams of a side of desperation.
Yeah.
And now I think there was a stat through the week that came up. They've had more opportunities in the other team's 20-metre line than any other team in the competition, yet they've scored the least tries.
All right, I want to come back to you and go further up the ladder and get to Mahogany Row and see who else is responsible for what's going on at the Panthers. But what do you make of it, Del, in terms of that, the coaching, in terms of the performances? Is Ivan just saying, oh, look, you know, it's eyes up footy, play what's in front of you, see you in September? Is that how the coaching seems to be?
But there's no one – it just seems like everyone out there is worried about someone else's job. It's like – okay, when someone misses a tackle, like I'm watching guys like Josh Mansour and Dallin and that, who are experienced first graders, just make decisions under pressure that they don't normally make because, as Gerd said, they're not working with the person beside them. There's no trust there. They're not trusting the game plan. They're not trusting themselves. And they're not playing that high energy. In the second half, they came out when they were obviously 20 points down or whatever, and they started to play. That's how they should have started. And when you're watching them make the mistakes again, it's like, here we go again. James Tarmo, who's the captain, I know he was getting back to marker there or trying to get back on side. He goes through, and as he's chasing, he just stops chasing. Even if you're going to get there, you've got to keep putting in. There's the 1%ers that the top teams are doing.
Well, Ivan, especially when he came into the Tigers, he was known for focusing on defence, and he turned the Tigers into the first half when he was there into the best defensive team in the comp. So never really focused on attack there. So not a massive surprise he's not doing it at the Panthers. But the fact now defensively, you know, they're missing all of those tackles as well. It's obviously, is that an attitude thing? Is that confidence? Because
I reckon it's confidence, but also it comes back to the individuals too. Like they're trying and they're going, okay, let's push this pass rather than hold on to it. Take the tackle. They're trying to, you know, make the big play on the second or third tackle, as Gerd said before. Titans did the same thing. You've got to take that tackle, reload. When the Panthers are at their best, eyes are up, mate. There's a trust there on both sides and at the back.
Emma, is there news on Dallin Watini-Zalesniak?
Yeah, so Dallin apparently is being chased by the Eels.
Okay.
So the Eels have been sniffing around. They've got 16 players off contract still, so they still haven't locked down Gutho, Mitch Moses. They don't know who's doing what, but they're going after Dallin. And, Michael Chammas had this story this morning and basically said that they're chasing hard, and Ivan apparently is off Dallin. He's been unhappy. He was saying, you know, he wanted to be the fullback.
Yeah.
So from my understanding, going back to the beginning of the season, wasn't happy with the fact that he was not playing fullback.
He was on the wing and then he was in the centre.
Yeah, he was on the wing and then he was in the centres and he wasn't happy and he was having a bit of a whinge, and then his attitude at training Ivan wasn't happy with, and now obviously Eels apparently chasing him.
All right, Ryan Girdler, we've talked about the playing group. We've talked about the coach very briefly. Does it stop there or do we keep heading upstairs?
Well, I think you've got to talk about the senior administration. I mean, I think it's an absolute mess at the moment. I think what they did in the off-season was immoral. Yeah, in relation to approaching a guy that had just sort of re-signed and started his tenure at another club. I think they made decisions based around fear of possibly losing a young player. And I think, obviously, Nathan carries a lot of that weight around now, and he shouldn't, because none of it is really his doing. And I think they overpaid. I think they overpaid the halfback, and I think they've overpaid the coach based on fear. And when you're at that level, you're making decisions based on fear, it generally doesn't end well. And I think to alienate a guy like Phil Gould, whether, you know, everyone's got their own opinion of Gus, but to have a great footy mind like that involved in your club, and then to have, you know, administration going away and making decisions, basically knowing that that's going to, you know, force Gus's hand into a redundancy, I think it's just basic stupidity. And I really do. And I think the board need to be held accountable at some point, Tony, because everyone's looking at the plays, yeah, and the blowtorch is on those guys, and Ivan's going to feel it as well. And he made a decision. And I think when Ivan made a decision to come back under the circumstances in which he left the Tigers, he left himself opened up. They needed to perform this year, and they're not.
Yeah.
So that's going to bring added pressure and added heat from the journos who are going to be asking those questions now. And Ivan needs to know that that's sort of that going to be what's going to happen probably for the remainder of the year. And he's got a five-year term. So I just think that the administration, Dave O'Neill, the guys on the board there, they need to be held accountable as well as the players and as well as Ivan, because, as I said before, it takes a contribution from everyone that's actively involved in this in the operation of this club to get themselves into this position.
One thing I think as well with the administration at the Panthers, they leak a lot of stuff, a lot more than the administration from other clubs. And often there's things, you know, as journos, you want to be trying to find out everything. But from a coach's perspective, a CEO's perspective, a lot of things you want kept in-house. But they're happy to just let, you know, answer calls and they slowly leak stuff that if it didn't get out, the pressure wouldn't have started to build. You know, things about the Wayne Bennett, the handshake with Gus Gould, all of those things that could easily have been kept in-house and reduced the pressure. So, you know, I think that might have, you know, contributed to the pressure that started to build off the field as well.
Right. They were coming I think at this time last year they were coming first.
Yep.
Yeah. And so...
And then, yeah, then they...
To regress to 12 months...
They were 6-8, weren't they? Six wins from 8 games, yeah.
Mm. And to be coming
If the Dogs beat the Knights this afternoon, they will be last.
It's quite unbelievable.
Speaking of pressure, just quickly, and we probably will come back and discuss it after we speak with Moses Mbai as well. The pressure certainly is on the 6 and the 7, isn't it? On Nathan Cleary, on James Maloney, and specifically it was put to Ivan Cleary, that pressure, is it going to be too great for them to be selected come State of Origin?
I don't think so, no. They've played they've been there before, they've done the job before. I think it would be extremely harsh to lump our position on those two guys.
All right, I'm going to get to all three of you and talk about those two positions in State of Origin in a little while. Just reminding you, the Panthers 30-4 losers. The Tigers got the win. Why don't we get some happy news next? And we'll speak with Moses Mbai on Saturday, Triple M, NRL. Emma Lawrence, Wendell Saylor, Ryan Gerler, Tony Squires with you on this Saturday afternoon. It is magic round. The Tigers 30-4 over the Panthers. An absolute blinding start from the Tigers. Luke Brooks, brilliant. Benji Robbie, sensational. Of course, their skipper Moses Mbai joins us right here, right now. G'day, mate. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There you go. You know, you're already, I can't believe it. You're already at the airport heading home. I was saying earlier, surely you're staying in the athletes' village like the Olympics. You get to go and see the rest of the events, have a bit of a party.
How would that be?
Why isn't that happening?
Mate, I think Todd Greenberg has already losing enough sleep without that going on.
You're probably right. Could you believe it? 20 minutes in, 20 points up.
Oh yeah, look, it was certainly a good start for us. We wanted to put a bit of emphasis on is starting fast, and something we've lacked consistency in over the last few weeks. So it was nice to see a few points on the board early. That's for sure.
We called the game. Congratulations, Moses. Ryan Gurley, mate. We called the game and we had the luxury of having Josh Reynolds with us doing the game, and he reckons you would have won by 50 had he played.
But besides that, he
said you kind of felt that coming, you know, preparation the last couple of weeks. I mean, you came up against the Red Hot Roosters last week, but he said there was a feeling around the camp that this was going to be the one where you guys would go out clicking a gear and prove a point.
Yeah, look, Gerds, I think... Like Josh mentioned, our preparation was really good, and obviously having Benji coming back into the squad brought a lot of experience, a lot of leadership qualities, and I think that really helped our week and our preparation. And obviously going into camp, spent a lot of time together up here in Brisbane. I think that helped our cause too. So like I mentioned, it was nice to get some points on the board, and you know, come up to Brisbane, it's never easy to win. So take home 2 points, we're happy with that.
Hey Moses, it's Wendell Saylor, mate. I know that as captain, sometimes you feel the pressure, and I know yourself, you said you hadn't met with some of the things that you've been doing, but mate, you scored a try last night, but what I loved is that the try-saving tackles that you pulled off, especially on a guy like Josh Mansell, which is pretty hard.
Yeah, thanks, Del. Yeah, like you mentioned, mate, I guess you can get yourself bogged down quite easily with other things you're worrying about other than your own game. And I think, like I mentioned, having Benji come back into this week, he sort of took that pressure off me and, you know, really took control of that, those leadership qualities that he possesses. So I was able to, I guess, concentrate on my game a little bit more, and something Madge has challenged me about over the last fortnight. And, yeah, look, I was fortunate enough to be able to come up with those plays at the right time, and I guess that's our requirement as a modern-day fullback, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Moses, it's Emma Lawrence. I was at your season launch and Benji was very cheeky. He said, you're really just the face of it, but in actual fact, he's the real captain. So I know you said you draw things off him, but from Benji or Robbie, what are the best things you've taken out of other players or even players at the Bulldogs as to what makes a good captain?
Yeah, look, I've been fortunate enough to play under some really quality leaders, and obviously Mick Ennis, James Graham, Josh Jackson, and then to be in the same side as those blokes you mentioned, Robbie Farah and Benji Marshall. They're all very experienced players and have their own qualities. And yeah, Benji, he's a bit of a smart ass, but look, we love having him around, and I think just the experience they bring and the confidence that your peers get by having those guys in your team. I think that adds a huge amount to the side, and also just having them in the camp throughout the whole week. You know, what a team like ours are very responsive to. People like Benji and Robbie were club legends, so when they speak, you listen, and I think that's priceless for us. So, look, yeah, across the board, I think that having those leaders in the side really helped us.
Now, Moses, Michael Maguire seems like a really technical coach, and you obviously sort of coming into the role there at fullback, I'd imagine with the football, he's been able to give you a lot of different advice and different tips to help you with your game. What's probably been one of the most important messages that he's given to you?
Yeah, he certainly is a technical coach, but in saying that, he does like to dumb it down for you. And with Madge, you know, his main focus is just being competitive. He just likes you to compete, and he is a competitor, and he loves winning. So that's his message to me, mate. It's just about competing, and you know, the other things come off the back of it. As you know, he likes his defence, and you learn that when you're a kid, it's an attitude. So he likes you to approach a game like that, and hopefully the results come off the back of you, a good quality attitude.
Does he have a lighter side, the coach?
Nah, he does that. He's actually quite normal. He's a father, and you know, he has that off button where he can, you know, I guess be that father figure to a lot of our players too. So, look, he gets it. But then once he crosses the white line of the footy field, he clicks into gear, and he's an animated character. But everyone's really enjoying him at the helm, and you know, we want to get some consistent wins for him, and you know, make a run for our finals.
Hey, Moses, says you obviously your fullback. Who's the least that you'd like to see come at you? Is it Taumalolo, Kalen Ponga, Latrell Mitchell? Who would you least like out of those guys to have to tackle one on one?
Mate, all three. You know,
Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, add him in there too, mate. They're all quality players, obviously. I think, yeah, that look, yeah. You don't want anyone coming at you. That's why I'm at the back, Del. You're not meant to tackle back there. Hey, modern day fullback stuff, jumping the line. What's that?
I love it.
Hey, Moses, obviously your training keeps you busy, but do you have three kids as well? That would keep you quite busy. Is there something that, an escape from both footy and home, is there something you do to just keep your mind off everything, a sort of hobby outside of footy as well?
Oh, between the kids and footy, and there's not too much spare time, to be honest. Three under four is keeping us pretty busy.
Like, but sleep?
Yeah, look, everything, mate. You know what they're like. They're certainly keeping us busy, but really enjoying it. And I guess there's a good balance between footy and, you know, and family. I think you need it. You don't need. Before I had kids, footy is the biggest thing you have in your life, and once you have your kids, you have something that becomes bigger than the game, which is important. So, it's something I'm really enjoying anyway.
Well, what's the plan for Mother's Day then? Have you got your go-to breakfast you've cooked to deliver to the mum?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Jeez, I'm going to be in some froth when I get back. Nah, we're going to pop down to Del's place, I think.
Oh, please. Anytime, mate. You're welcome.
I love it.
Oh, brother.
Mate, congratulations on a sensational effort from yourself and the team last night. All the best for the next week and beyond.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, man.
There, there he is. Yes. Tiger skipper Moses Mbai on the back of that terrific win, the demolition of the Panthers, 30 points to 4. You can look at one camp, obviously, and it's just thinking how what's the season going to hold for us. For the Tigers, there's some joy and jubilation among their fans, rightly so too. The Broncos over the Seagulls. We're going to chat with Wally Lewis very shortly, see what the King is up to as part of Magic Round on Saturday, Triple M NRL. As I said, we'll speak with Wally Lewis very shortly. We'll probably get his take on how well the Broncos travelled. I think that he's actually been, as his job, as he works in television, whatever he does, I think he's been in the camp and had a look at training during the week. So I'll be interested to see what he has to say about that. We'll get there very shortly. So why don't we have a look at the other side of the equation with the Seagulls. They lost, but gee, they would have lost no friends in terms of their performance. They were brave. They were injured all over the park. I don't know what the tally is, M, of injuries as we speak.
Well, keep in mind first, Tom Trbojevic already out, then Daly Cherry-Evans out as well. And then from last night, you've got Sipley, a suspected ACL.
Oh, my goodness.
You've got Abbey Coruscant injured his ankle, but they think he should be right for next week. Mm-hmm. And then Moses Suli, a suspected compound fracture of his finger. So,
Fanua Blake was also out.
Yeah, that's right.
And they've got Dylan Walker now,
Dylan
obviously.
Dylan Walker now, hopefully.
Could be back. George Tafua.
George Tafua is
out.
So that it's a yeah. So yeah. Look, it was a. They were, and I thought they were the better team for probably the first 30 minutes, and that's how they've played all season. I mean, I think they've won 5 of their last 6 games.
It's just effort, isn't it? Yeah.
It's just all based around effort and actually putting some of the other clubs with so-called better rosters. I think putting a little bit of shade over those at the moment because effort and energy has been fantastic and love the way that this Fainu plays and his combination with Coruscant. And I was a little bit concerned going into that game because they were going to start Appy at 6 and they made a late rechange and they put Curtis in at 6 and put Appy back to 9 and then Fanu came off the bench and he just injects a whole lot of energy. But unfortunately, they were winning the ruck and dominating sort of the middle third of the field for the first probably 30 minutes and they were getting a lot of joy coming out of their own end, getting penalties because they had a lot more fight in the tackles and the Broncos were really on the back foot. They scored first, Manly, and it looked like another night where they were just going to go on with it. But then I think based around possession started to even up a little bit. Broncos clicked into gear and they had some injury issues that they just couldn't handle. And
yeah, they're two centers,
just got
especially.
Too much for them in the end, yeah. But they were gallant.
Young Manasseh, he's coming off contract as well. So you'd imagine clubs would start to circle him. And I think he's come on leaps and bounds under Dez and got himself in a bit of trouble off the field last year, but, has matured a bit. And actually John Hopewadi
he's
has
a gun.
Been...
He's a gun
mentor.
Fainu.
Yeah,
he's
he is.
Really good.
He
really
is.
Impressive.
So, he's John Hopewadi's actually been helping him out. He told me, interviewed Manasseh a couple of weeks ago, he told him his best advice. John Hopewadi said, stay away from girls and you'll be right, son. Mm. So that's what he's tried to do. You know, focus on the footy.
And probably, this is what John Hopewadi said.
That's what John
Hopewadi... Stay away from girls and me and everything should be okay.
but you've got to respect the way that Manly are playing. They're working for one another. And there's a bit of pride back in that jersey. Mm. And Desi's instilled that with them. Some of those young kids, you talk about young rosters and stuff. So no excuses from like the Broncos and these sort of teams. Like Cronulla are the same, It's about effort and playing for one another, and that's what I like about them.
Can I just, in the injury frame though, Jack Bird, that was also bad news for him. He was playing so good this season, looked so much happier, so much fitter, stronger, looking good, I would have thought, for a blue jersey, given what's going on in the centres. Now, his injury
suspected
is an ACL as well.
He's
gone.
But then what about he got up and he was so frustrated last year because I remember speaking to him and he'd come in like underdone, and when you go to Brisbane, you're on big money. They expect you to perform,
He didn't want to believe it had happened, did he?
No. So when he kept trying to get up, and the fears going, mate, get down, and then you could just tell in the dressing room. I didn't speak to anyone at the moment, but you could just tell, and obviously the media and what they've been talking about. And I just feel for him because I know he wanted his New South Wales jersey back, and he's playing in a position where when he won a premiership in that centre position, and he looked great last night again.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, and it's not only for the Broncos, but now for Brad Fittler as well, because everyone was starting to toss up his name. I think too, Jack Bird, there was a lot less pressure on him coming into this year, because when he first went, there was a lot of talk about where he would play, because we didn't exactly know what positions he's going to come in to, and he's on a big money deal, so there was a lot of expectation. Whereas I feel like this offseason, everyone was, if not talking about Seabold coming, about this young Broncos pack. So Jack Bird kind of flew under the radar a bit. So maybe that was better for him, not having all of the spotlight on him.
All right. We are going to catch up with a great man, the immortal Wally Lewis. That's next. Saturday Triple M NRL. It's Adelaide Triple M NRL, and in Magic Round, who better to talk to than a man who brought magic to every round he played?
That's see what I did there.
You like that? I'm talking, of course, of the king himself, Mr. Wally Lewis. G'day, mate.
How are you, guys? It's been an exciting round so far. A lot of fun to watch.
Have you been out and about watching each of the, you know, getting Suncorp each day?
Yeah, got along there and certainly enjoyed the performances. I thought last night's was particularly encouraging for the Broncos, because having attended every training session that the guys have had, with my job, it was quite extraordinary, actually. I don't think I've ever seen a Broncos training session where there appeared to be so little confidence, but that was sort of restored last night greatly. I thought it was a very encouraging performance from them.
Led from a guy that's been under all sorts of pressure, Darius Boyd, Wally. I mean, the locals must have enjoyed his performance.
Yeah, they did, and I think Darius knew at the end of the game he realised just what an effort he'd put in. It was certainly leading from the front, and he became very creative. A lot of people are accusing him of being a little bit flat and not being able to lead by his role as captain and get the communications going. But sitting on the sideline last night, the one thing that I was sort of talking about in all the training sessions what was lacking, sadly, was talk. Virtually every training session you go to with the first grade sides, you just hear a whole pile of very loud discussion going on. That was sadly missing at the Broncos. But last night it was quite impressive. I thought they did an outstanding job.
Hey, well, one guy I've been really critical of this year is Anthony Milford. I know when they bought him from Canberra, he's on massive money, and I just thought his kicking game over the past couple of months hasn't been on point, but even his direction, Deedon certainly helped him out a bit. But do you think that's fair that Milford comes under some criticism?
Yeah, well, mate, if you're getting paid $1 million a year, I guess you got to expect that you're going to, you know, not be able to please all the people all the time, but particularly when the Broncos were struggling, it was a position of power for him. I think that if he had led the way the same way that he did last night, everybody would have followed him. They would have felt that they also had an important responsibility and would have played their part in it. That was by a long, long way Mill's finest performance of the season. I thought, the way that he sort of got in, and the thing that impressed me, sitting on the sideline, you could hear him talk, and what he's like, Dally. He's not the loudest conversationalist in the game. He sort of just lets his actions play an important role. But he was involved in discussions last night and grabbing blokes and shoving them around. And so too was a young bloke, I think, that has got a pretty good future. Tommy Dearden, he was grabbing blokes, some of the big forwards, and just tugging them. Let me rephrase that. Yeah. He was pushing them into another area.
It's a lunchtime show, Wally.
Of the field, just telling them where to go. And I thought that was an outstanding a display from an 18-year-old kid that hasn't played a lot in it. So he's done that. But the man that he's playing inside, obviously, is making him feel pretty good. And Milf, I think at the end of the game, you could just see what it had done for his own self-confidence.
Hey, Wally, what about Jermaine Asako and James Roberts both being dropped? Clearly, do you believe the right decision by Seabold? A bit of a kick up the butt?
It was a bold decision. There were a lot of people in Brisbane saying, look, if you're going to drop Asako and Roberts, fine. If they're in pretty poor form, we can understand that. We've got no real issues with it, but we haven't been getting beaten by wingers running past Asako and Roberts having a whole pile of trouble defending against his opposition centres. So there appeared to be, a little bit of a big question to be answered there. Last night's performance, I guess, though, really indicates that, it was the correct decision. And maybe a lot of guys in the team thought that their position may be up for grabs as well if they didn't come out and produce a good performance. But, it was one of those nights last night, I suppose, that you know, Broncos fans were extremely happy about the efforts of those that were on display. But Roberts may be going back in with Jack Bird. That looked frightening. He was trying to get up and get going again and show some sort of strength in his knee, but he just collapsed. And when he came back in, you could see that he had the look upon his face where guys know that they're in a little bit of strife.
You're your own
best judge, and he knew that. I believe that knee surgery is just around the corner for him. I can't see it being any other way.
Yeah, Wendell prides himself on being his own best judge.
Come on, boys.
He does. Hey, well, in terms of Magic Round, where have you been off to? You know, between games, after games, is a City Rowers kind of affair for you, or is it Brecky?
City Rowers, the Brecky Creek.
No longer there.
Jay Butter.
That's right, of course. Or Brecky Creek. Where are you off to?
Yeah, I think I better throw my age in there. That's 59 years of age. I'll be going to the local pensioners' parlour, I think, and go in there and have a nice sausage with a little bit of mashed potato and some peas.
Good for the dentures.
Beautiful.
I'm 6 years off being a pensioner, so here we go.
Seniors card, can't wait.
But it's certainly it's
great for public transport.
That's right.
I thought it was great that there were so many people there for the Broncos game, quite naturally, but they'll be well supported at the events today as well. They're going to be we get a lot of Bulldogs fans in Brisbane, five times as many as any other club, with the Dragons. They are the most popular team in the country, and the Melbourne Storm, well, we've got that little bit of an association with the Queensland fans with Storm. They've had plenty of Queenslanders on show. So, yeah, another big day's footy coming up.
Just before you go, are you going to have a little word in Cameron Smith's ear and say, State of Origin?
Mate, I think he's already made his decision. I don't know whether there's going to be too much or little change for that. If he does, well, Queenslanders will be delighted. If they don't, well, I don't think they're going to be too surprised, because they know that we've sort of behind the eight ball in this series, and we need to be at our best. And certainly, while Cam will add plenty of confidence to the Queensland side, I think we've kind of been thinking about life after the great man for quite some time now, so it won't be that hard to adjust.
Amen to that.
Always a joy and a pleasure to speak to the great man himself, Wally Lewis. Thanks so much for sharing some time with us.
Good on you, guys. Thanks for that.
Thanks,
for
Royal Highness.
There is Wally Lewis joining us right here Saturday. Triple M NRL. Triple M does it every Saturday afternoon, just rocking the footy. We have a terrific special guest coming up very, very shortly.
How special? Well,
he's entered the building.
Yeah, he has entered the building. Yeah. Well, he's kind of limped into the building. Not limped, he's still on crutches. That's all I'm saying for you. Aaron Woods has joined us. He'll be here very, very shortly for the entire next hour, which is a bonus for us and a treat for you, I'm sure. If you missed anything from this hour, including our chat with Moses Mbai, you can, of course, listen to the catch-up podcast available exclusively through the Triple M NRL app. Earlier, I said we talked about the number 6 and 7 for the Panthers, and will they be selected in the Blues outfit? I'm saying Nathan Cleary, James Maloney cannot be selected and can't play for the Blues this year. We're going to get to that little it's not on the rundown yet, but I'm now officially putting it on the rundown.
Can't wait to talk about New South Wales.
I was just looking for it.
Yeah, I know. So, just get your head around that.
It'll be fun.
Right now, though, get your head around this.
Ladies and gentlemen, three in
I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 and 5.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 3 and 5!
Ah, yeah. Did you win last week?
Emma did.
Emma, yeah.
Yes.
I can't remember.
Yeah, no. You did.
Can't either.
What's
the theme today, Tone? Magic?
Well, there's a bit of magic.
There is
a bit of magic, and then there's some other things in there are thrown in.
Please,
well,
not country music again.
Around music.
Sort of music, Tone.
Oh, there's no music.
We're a sports show.
Okay. No music.
What do you mean we're a sports show? Triple M rocks the footy.
Yes.
Yeah, not on
weekends.
It's
music.
It's a sports show.
We just played Joan Jett.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
But we're here to talk about footy and sports.
Hey, listen. You've got your glasses on today. And you're
looking,
it looked terrific, obviously. Yeah. But you just do your job. Concentrate on your own job.
Oh, wow.
I'll do mine, okay?
Okay, Tony.
I'm putting this. Where's
that
the quiz?
That was coming, wasn't it?
Where's the quiz you put together?
Okay.
Where's that?
Okay.
You sit there and answer the questions.
Not in my contract.
No, isn't it? Mine either. All right. The first one is very musical. Are you disappointed as well, Emma?
I'm not good at music.
You'll be right.
Excellent. What about you, Del?
I'm okay.
Okay, well, I'll start with you.
Del's good at everything.
Name this song with magic in the title. On the cloud of sun, I drink in the night. Any place that goes is right. Goes far
What do you got, Tim?
No, I've got nothing.
You got nothing. Steppenwolf.
Yeah, no, I don't know that one, no.
It's Magic Carpet Ride is the answer. No points for you. Same goes for you, Emma Lawrence. Okay. Name this song with magic in the title. Come on, please. Please.
So good.
Have you got anything?
Every
little thing she does is magic.
Oh, well, Gertz, here you go.
I told you I would like that one. Music?
All right, Ryan Girdler, can I just give you a hint here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just think of the simplest answer you possibly can.
Magic?
Oh. Yes, yeah, of course.
That's favouritism.
No, it's not. You bagged me earlier. Honestly. Okay. That is Pilot. That is magic. Okay. All right, Del, magic round.
Yes.
Name three magicians.
Oh. David Copperfield, Siegfried and Roy.
That's three.
Yeah,
stay humble, please.
Stay humble. That's good. Houdini. Yeah.
Houdini would have been good. I would have gone with Merlin as well. David Blaine would happen.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Emma Lawrence, in Magic Round, name three players who disappeared from the Broncos starting team of last week for this week.
Jermaine Asako, James Roberts, and Cody Nikorima.
He wasn't picked last week. Yeah, he wasn't either.
And
so,
McCulloch, of course, who was... Oh, look at you.
Unlucky,
you were so angry.
Yeah. Boom,
you were so angry. All right. All right, Ryan Girdler. This is good. For you. Got nothing to do with Magic Round.
Okay, great.
It's just because I think you'll be able to answer it.
Okay, thank you.
What is happening here and why?
Oh, sorry.
The clock is ticking. Exactly. On this segment.
Who cares? Never Walk Alone.
Yes.
Liverpool and the fans celebrated their Champions League semi-final win.
Yeah!
4-0 over Barcelona.
Can you believe that?
How amazing was it?
It was an incredible week of football. Well,
certainly was. It's an incredible week of football here in the Magic Round as well. Stick around.
Who
Aaron
won?
Woods.
Oh, good, you won.
Aaron
Emma,
Woods
you got last.
Joins us next. Oh, this is chaos. We need somebody to come in and clean the act up. Aaron Woods joins us next. Hello, Dribble MNRL.